Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's your walk in the park of free speech. What was that song by Chicago? Chicago had a song, I think it was the 4th of July. You know that. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, that's what it is. And it's all about free speech, which we're losing. We're losing very rapidly. And, you know, I know I always say something kind of off the top of my head, and it probably gets pretty tedious sometimes. But that's what RBN's all about. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and view the various ways that you can send the fundage, which is badly needed. I'm going to say it because I need to get it memorized. That's how we do these things. 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it in. Julie or Mike or Sam will be glad to take your money. So phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. All right, now that that's out of the way, there's stuff I want to talk about, but I've been kind of putting off this recording because, like, I just wasn't quite ready to. One thing I'm going to say is, first of all, thank you all. Whoa, what would this be? Hold on a second. Sorry about that. I do get these phone calls. I get phone calls. I have to work for a living, and so I get phone calls. But, no, I want to just, A, thank all the listeners for putting up with me and my idiosyncrasies, whatever they're called, idiosyncrasies. And then also, we did have a listener who mailed in a gift of cash, and that's going to be much enjoyed next time Jeremy and I get together. We're going to have a nice meal on you. Thank you very much for that. Okay, so there's that. I was reading an article today, and the exact details of the article aren't that important. But one thing, it made references to a lot of the bad stuff that's going on now. And one of the references was to climate change. And another was to the coronavirus. And in the one case, in both cases, it was basically saying that these are complete hoaxes, that there was nothing to them. And, you know, people might think that. And there's a lot of things where people say this is a complete hoax, there's absolutely nothing to it. And then, you know, you can talk about mass shootings, you can talk about 9/11, there's a whole bunch of things. And sometimes, like, 9/11 is a good example, where we just get into, you wind up with an awful lot of rancor over whether 9/11 was caused by a missile rather than an airplane, whether the buildings came down with thermite, whether it was controlled demolition, all sorts of stuff. And thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for your support. All sorts of stuff. And, you know, you get people, frankly, in way over their heads talking about engineering or science. And sometimes, you know, you'll get people who you would think have good credentials. I remember hearing about some engineer or something, I guess maybe it was an engineer, saying that it would be impossible for jet fuel, you know, the fire caused by jet fuel to bring down these buildings because the melting point of steel is higher than the burning temperature of jet fuel. And this was somebody who was like a building engineer or something. And you'd think, well, he ought to know. Except, and it's not like this is my field, but we know. I mean, if you've ever took shop class in, like, I took metalworking in eighth grade, maybe, and you know, if you wanna bend something, you heat it up, it bends a lot easier. Metal, it bends easier, and if you're doing a even if you're a legitimate engineer for skyscrapers, probably part of the process when you're designing the building and you're the engineer and you're saying how thick the steel has to be on floor 72, how thick do the beams need to be, you are basing it off of, you know, regular temperatures that we have naturally occurring, you know, temperatures that, like from 0 degrees Fahrenheit to 100 degrees Fahrenheit or whatever. And you're not making those calculations based on the tensile and stress strength of steel at 2000 degrees Fahrenheit. You're not doing that. You're not doing that. And yet the strength of metals is very much a function of temperature. And for instance, I've done this experiment because I'm that nerdy. Taking a 1 foot square Fresnel lens, so you're capturing a square foot of sunlight, and then if you focus it, this is kind of fun to do. If you focus it and you're at, you know, midday, let's just say, you know, sometime around noon. Even in winter, usually you can do it. Certainly in autumn or spring, you can do it. And you focus that 1 foot square foot of sunlight onto a penny, a post-1982 penny. Some 1982 pennies you can do it too. But in 1982, they transitioned from copper pennies to zinc pennies with just a little copper coating on the outside. And the melting temperature of zinc is like 600 something degrees Fahrenheit, and you can melt that penny. And it's funny because all of a sudden the zinc core reaches that melting temperature and it just kind of dissolves, but the copper coating around it, copper's got a much higher melting temperature, it doesn't melt. And so it's like you've got this liquid zinc inside kind of a film or foil of copper that's not liquefied, but it's not very strong. And it's kind of funny. Now, you can do that. Now, if you take an aluminum coin, like a 1 yen coin, for instance, which is more or less the size of a penny, aluminum has a higher melting temperature than zinc. But it's only, what is it? Is it like 800 or 900 degrees? It's not that much higher, but it's too high. Maybe in the middle of the, I remember in shop class making an aluminum, ashtray, right? Out of, I think they were basically, aluminum cans. This was when they were just starting to transition from steel cans to aluminum cans back in the 70s. And we collected a whole bunch of aluminum cans and melted them down, which you could do in shop class. And then we poured the molten aluminum, in my case, and we got to make molds. And I had a wooden ashtray and using some sort of dirt. It was basically dirt. Was able to make a dirt mold using a wooden ashtray, was able to make the dirt mold, and then there were holes going down into the mold, and you poured the molten aluminum in there and made an ashtray. It was pretty cool. I still have it. Never used it because I don't smoke, but anyway, the penny, the 1 yen coins, you can't, using that 1 square foot of sunlight, can't get it that high. You just can't make it melt. But you can take a stick and push into to the aluminum 1 yen coin with a stick, and it will bend. All right? Just by pushing out with a stick. Have I said this before? If I have, I apologize. But that's the type of thing. Now, here's my question, right? So for the people who talk about 9/11 and say it was an, you know, the whole thing is it's an inside job, or no, well, let's just say that the whole thing is it had to be a controlled demolition because jet fuel doesn't melt, it doesn't burn hot enough to melt steel. And they've been making that argument. And then you show somebody, well, actually, strength of metal changes with heat. The strength changes with heat. If you can prove that to that person, should that person then just say, oh, well, never mind, I guess the Patriot Act is good then, right? Is that it? Or even this, oh, okay, well, I guess it wasn't an inside job. I guess it was just hijackers who hate our freedom. Is that a conclusion? Because this is the thing. When if you're making the issue something like the jet fuel doesn't burn at a high enough temperature to make steel, if that becomes the issue, then you lose the argument. Then what, right? And so with the global warming, what are they trying to do with the global warming? What they're trying to do with it is say, well, it depends. But, you know, you look at the Green New Deal of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You look at that, and it's like, well, we've got to remake our society, and everything has to be designed around vulnerable populations defined as people of color and sexual minorities and people with criminal records, whatever. I mean, just look at it. It's almost as bad as I just joked about. I don't think they threw in people with folks with criminal records, folks with records. That's actually a Black Lives Matter thing, is folks with records. But, you know, the eat bugs, is that going to be it? Climate lockdowns, where, like in Oxford, England, where you're not allowed to stray more than a mile from your house 4 days out of the week or something in order to save the climate. Okay, so if it turns out they're actually that CO2 levels are rising, does that make climate lockdowns okay? I know I've said this stuff before. I've said it before. But the thing is, I keep seeing these same arguments. Things shouldn't revolve around whether or not there is climate change. Things should revolve around the hell you're going to lock me down. And I'm not eating the bugs. Although, frankly, I have eaten the bugs. And they're not that bad. But still. No, I was in Bangkok at a market. And they were just selling the bugs as a treat, as like, you know, you could get lemonade over here and you could get ice cream over there, and here they had bugs. It's like, and it was kind of a challenge. You're not going to eat the bugs. They're like, I'm going to eat the bugs. And I ate the bugs. And, you know, some were kind of crunchy and not good. If you eat shrimp, you know how you eat shrimp and then maybe you don't get it popped out of the tail adequately and you eat some of the shell, you know, that's what some of the bugs are like, which isn't so great. And you don't want them getting stuck between your teeth. But that's another thing. If somebody can prove to you that CO2 levels are changing and that this is going to have an impact on the climate, does that make it all okay? The climate change agenda is just a thinly veiled anti-white agenda. That's what it is. And does that make it okay? Does that make it okay if the anti-white agenda, is it okay? And then, of course, with the coronavirus, I know I talk about this. I've talked about it before. And my dear listeners, forgive me if you're getting tired of it. But if it turns out that there actually is a coronavirus that is new and is dangerous for some people, for certain easily identifiable groups of people, but it is dangerous and it did kill some people. Does that mean that the lockdowns were justified? Does that mean that the forced vaccines were justified? I'd say no, it doesn't. And this is what things have to revolve around, what they try to do with it. You can take any problem. Let's just say the problem of dogs defecating on the sidewalk, which they don't do much anymore. People have gotten really good about cleaning up after them. But let's just say, dogs defecating on sidewalks can transmit tapeworms, and tapeworms can kill people, and therefore we've got to kill your dog. And the counter to that should not be that dogs don't defecate on sidewalks, or that, you know, parasites don't exist. The counter to that should be, the hell you're going to shoot my dog? It's not going to happen. And so that's my thing. Okay, I'm going to take it a step farther. I don't know how, I'm not necessarily going to do the whole show like this, but I'm going to take it a step farther. And this is something I've noticed with religious people. And, you know, I hear, like, I'm not a religious person, but I'm actually pro-religious. I really don't think that you can, I mean, there you can have some well-adjusted atheists. You can. I've met them. They exist. But a lot of them are pretty miserable, frankly. And honestly, when you think of the comfort that, you know, because we're humans and we know we're going to die, and that sucks. And the comfort that people get from religion, and the stability, and the ground being grounded. And why would you want to take that away from anybody, even if you don't believe in all the stuff, right? Why would you want to take it away? But there are those who do. And when you get down to it, when you see so many of the leading atheists, like, what, Sam Harris or whatever, guess what? They're Jews. So many of them. And I'm not going to get much into it, but, you know, Dr. Duke would make the argument that the Jewish religion really doesn't revolve around belief in God. It just doesn't. It revolves around belief in your own race or ethnic group's superiority. That's what it revolves around. But at any rate, I do hear religious people, and they'll say things, well, obviously, a lot of them get very upset at the idea of evolution. And here's my thing. If you're, let's just say you're a Christian and you're disturbed at the idea, you're opposed to the idea of evolution, but somehow somebody can convince you that evolution has transpired, does that mean that you should give up on Jesus saving you? Right? I don't see why it should. I don't see why it should. And a lot of this. And the other thing is sometimes I'll hear religious people talking about somehow wanting to prove God's existence. They want to prove it. And we'll talk about all sorts of things, you know, the sunset or whatever. Then, of course, there's this whole cottage industry of what's it called? Something design, intelligent design. But somehow wanting to prove God's existence. And yet, you know, there's a story, and I'm not a religious scholar. I'm not pretending to be one. But the story from Book of John, maybe other books, about the doubting Thomas, right? So Jesus, after he's crucified.
So he met someone who set you back on your heels. Goody, goody. So he met someone, and now you know how it feels. Goody, goody. So you gave him your heart too, just as I gave mine to you. And he broke it in little.
Perfect. protest inside the Tennessee State Capitol yesterday raised some questions. I'm Peter Serafine with another Liberty Minute. I carry a gun to protect those around me. I'm a member of Right to Bear to protect my legal rights. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com for affordable carry insurance. Protesters swarmed the Tennessee State Capitol building yesterday as votes were being taken to expel three Democrat members of the state house. The vote to expel these three Democrats is because last week those three joined in another protest inside the Capitol building. That protest disrupted the proceedings of the legislature. I'm not sure how I feel about this. Should elected officials be removed because they protested and disrupted the proceedings? One thing I definitely noticed is that nobody is reporting on this storming of the state capitol as an insurrection. 1,000 people have been prosecuted for storming a Capitol building and disrupting an official proceeding on January 6, 2021. How is this any different? Oh, because these protesters want gun control. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Cephas Pashem, Parabellum.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Pretending to be one, but the story from Book of John, maybe other books, about the doubting Thomas, right? So Jesus, after he's crucified, he comes back and sees some of his disciples, but Thomas wasn't there, and Thomas refused to believe it unless he saw Jesus with his own eyes. And then Jesus appeared, came back, and said, well, you know, now you see me and you can believe, but blessed are those who didn't need the proof. I mean, it's right there, right? It's right there. And so if Jesus allegedly, according to the Bible, said that, you know, blessed are those who don't need the proof, why do you want to go around proving it? If everything's supposedly based on faith, why do you need to prove it? All right. I'm gonna knock it off here for a second. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. So I was listening to Alexander Mercurius and Alex Crucifaru, one of their recent podcasts, and they were discussing the Biden and his declaration that he's going to run for president. And also, they were tying it into Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson's being fired. And they had a take, which I don't buy, but still, I think it's worth mentioning. So, Alex Christopher was saying that he thinks Tucker Carlson, the reason for Tucker Carlson being fired was because he has had both Donald Trump on his show recently. He had an extended interview with him within the past, you know, sometime earlier this month. But he's also been covering Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. running for president. And now the thing is, neither of these people actually live in the United States. Christopher sounds like an American, so I assume he's an American, but he lives in either in Greece or Cyprus. And Mercuris lives in London. I mean, I saw Robert F. Kennedy speaking at the Lincoln Memorial in January 2022. And I thought, wow, you know, except for the fact that he's got that speech impediment, which is some uncurable condition, he's got some charisma, and he's a Kennedy, and he looks, you know, he looks like a viable candidate for president. That's what he looks like, it, right? I don't think he's going to go anywhere. You've had people who had pretty big names, and especially if you're running against an incumbent in the primaries, good luck with that. You have had, for instance, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s uncle, Teddy Kennedy, did a primary challenge against Jimmy Carter, which much weakened him. Reagan did a primary challenge against Gerald F. Ford in 1976, which much weakened him, and in both cases might have been critically weakened them. So these things can happen, but you, in order to have that, have such a viable challenge to an incumbent president, you really have to be pretty notable. And you have to be pretty much at the top of the game. And of course, Ronald Reagan had been a two-term governor of California, and a movie star, so he had all the name recognition and that resume. It was adequate to be taken seriously as a primary challenger. Teddy Kennedy, everybody had always been waiting for Teddy Kennedy to run for president. He never did, but you know, are you ready, Teddy? Are you steady, Teddy? It you know, he had that Chappaquiddick thing where he was driving drunk and drove into a lake, and the girl he was with died, and there's all these questions, all these suspicions. And but you know, he decided in 1980 he was Teddy Kennedy, so he could challenge Carter. But for instance, does anybody know that in 2020, former Massachusetts Governor William Weld, ran in the primaries against Donald Trump? Do you remember that? Probably not, but it happened. And you know, running against an incumbent in the primaries, you're not necessarily taken seriously at all, even if you are somebody, a former governor. 1972, Congressman Pete McCloskey ran against Richard Nixon in the primaries. He actually got a couple of delegates, but nobody took him seriously. He wasn't taken seriously. And I have the feeling that's what's going to happen to... Oh, and this wasn't against an incumbent, but in the year 2000, Warren Beatty, the actor Warren Beatty, ran for president against Al Gore. That, you know, Al Gore was...
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Subscribe to the Freedom Times monthly newspaper, published since 1985. That's right, 1985. The Freedom Times pulls no punches and observes no sacred cows or taboos. The perilous times we live in are too critical for anything but honest discussion of America's plight. The Freedom Times is the antidote to the lies and distortions of the fake news media. There's no better way to inform and enlighten Americans than by reading the Freedom Times each month. New subscribers may sign up at the special rate of just $29 for 1 year or $55 for 2 years. Subscribe online by going to AmericanFreedomNews.us or mail your subscription to The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. That's the Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. Support America's best patriotic newspaper and one of the very few left by becoming a subscriber to the Freedom Times today.
Again, let us sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again. All together, shout it now. There's no one who
the year 2000, Warren Beatty, the actor Warren Beatty, ran for president against Al Gore. That, you know, Al Gore was, he was also, there was also another challenger in there that was Bill Bradley, the former basketball player and senator from New Jersey, who Bill Bradley was taken seriously. Warren Beatty was not. So I have the feeling that's what's going to happen to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And, you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I saw him speak, and at the speech he was talking primarily about the coronavirus policies, which were still going full on in January 2022, right? That was only a year after the Biden had been inaugurated, and of course the Biden was super, super serious about the masks and the vaccine and all of this. So it was kind of at the height of all of that madness. And he was good on it. When I saw him talking to Tucker and they got to talking about Ukraine, Robert F. Kennedy was against our funding of this war, which is the right side of the issue. But he was saying that his own son has gone over to Ukraine and fought for the Ukrainians, which I wouldn't brag about that. You know, and this is another thing about Tucker. Nobody, even like today, Dr. Duke was praising Tucker, and if you heard the show, I was kind of kind of being a little bit irreverent with Dr. Duke, but he was praising Tucker for opposing the Russia, Russia, Russia stuff. But when you get down to it, Tucker's arguments seem to be, we've got, sure, Putin's evil. Yeah, I get it. Putin's evil, and the invasion was horrible, but we've got a fentanyl crisis here, and we've got to concentrate on that. And plus, China. We got to get ready for war with China, and all we're doing is driving Russia into China's arms. And that's a stupid argument. That is a stupid argument, because Putin's not evil. Putin's awesome, okay? And even if he wasn't awesome, the Russian position on Ukraine, their grievances are absolutely legitimate. And this has just been a bunch of Jewish scheming by Victoria Nuland and the Jew crew at the State Department and the media and the think tanks and whatnot. And but he won't say it. So anyway, the heck with him. Where was I going with this? Oh yeah, so Mercurius and Christofaro were saying that that the worst nightmare of the establishment, they won't talk about the Jewish establishment, but the worst nightmare of the establishment would be a Donald Trump versus Robert F. Kennedy Jr. general election. And because Tucker's having both these people on his show, that's why they got rid of Tucker. And, you know, the weakness there is that I would like to think that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. could catch fire. I don't think he's that great on a lot of things, but I'd like to see him catch fire, if for no other reason than was so hardcore against the coronavirus measures, right? But also, he seems to think that his uncle and his father, certainly the uncle, was, you know, John F. Kennedy Jr., John F. Kennedy, the president, was assassinated by the CIA. There was CIA involvement there. And so, you know, that's good. And his foreign policy, which I don't think is that, it's like not that based, but it's a lot better than the mainstream. Yeah, I'd like to see him. And in fact, I could even see myself registering as a Democrat and even maybe running as a Robert F. Kennedy Jr. delegate. But I still don't think he's that great. But still, there's a limit to how much. I mean, I could see doing that. I probably wouldn't, but I could see myself registering as a Democrat and at least voting for him. Especially if Trump's got everything wrapped up. And you know my position on Trump. I mean, I think Trump failed. I do think that, and I also think he's basically a narcissist, and to a large extent has been in this for his own personal reasons. But like Don Black wisely, sagely put it, Trump was inspired by his own followers. Trump seemed to see some sort of convergence between his own selfish personal interests and the interests of the normal American people, who are largely whites. And he recognized this. And so I've actually got a lot of sympathy for Trump, and I could see myself voting for Trump in a general election, or voting for him if the Republican election winds up being some sort of horse race, if DeSantis or some other person gets some momentum. I could see myself voting in a Republican primary for Trump. I could see that. I don't see anybody else running in the Republicans who would be worth voting for. And the other thing is, like, I just see elections as one of many, many areas for political struggle. Just one of many. But campaigns are good platforms for issues. This is why most of my life was involved in third-party politics. Not that I ever thought the people I was working with. I voted for Ralph Nader 4 times. I knew Ralph Nader. I never thought he was going to win. But I thought his campaigns were worth putting a fair amount of investing a fair amount of labor into, and I did for 4 times. And I had worked for Eugene McCarthy in the 1976 election. I think these elections, you know, third-party candidates are important. And so it's not election campaigns aren't necessarily all about winning the election. And, you know, we know from the experience of Trump that somebody can win an election and not get anything or not get very much done. Being able to administer a government is a big deal. And, you know, some people would say, well, obviously, because he didn't get a wall built, it meant he was never planning to get a wall built, right? Which, honestly, I'm so sick of people. I think they're retarded, that something happened, therefore that was part of the plan, that everything's planned. Well, then, okay, if everything's planned, just shut the hell up. There's nothing you can do about it if everything's planned and the plans, everything that ever happens goes according to plan. It's all a plan because it happened. Therefore, it's part of the big plan, that big one big plan. I'm so sick of that. I'm so sick of that. Because if that's what you believe, then shut up. There's nothing you can do about it. Just learn how to play golf. Learn how to play the piano. Because existence is miserable. There's nothing you can do about it. So why even bother? Why bother me? Why bother RBN? Why call in with that kind of tripe? Is it tripe? I don't even know. I don't even know what tripe means. But still. So I don't really think it was a hot take for Alexander Mercurius and Alex Christofaru, but I still think it's, you know, worth talking about a little bit, discussing. They were saying, yeah, if you had a matchup between Trump and Biden, that's, you know, that's something that the powers that be could deal with. Well, maybe. I mean, one thing they were saying is that they were discussing Biden announcing he's running, and you know, one point that they made, which I actually thought was a pretty good point. See, it's even though you can say that Biden is a puppet. Well, how do puppets work? And puppets can be difficult to control. There was a novel. No, was it a novel or a play? I think it might have been a play that I read. I read it in French. And what was it called? Topaz, by a guy named Pascal. I think his name was Pascal. I forgot what the first name was. And I think it was written in the 1920s or 1930s. I read it in French class. And there was a school teacher named Topaz. And he got fired for whatever reason. I can't remember how he got fired. Maybe he was honest and wasn't going to help somebody cheat. There was the son of a rich lady wanted to get into the school, but he wouldn't help cheat or something like that. I don't even remember. He lost his job, but then the next thing you know, there was a corrupt politician or corrupt politically linked business that the person who was the figurehead of this corrupt business that sold, what did they sell? Street plows or street cleaning machines to the municipality at an exorbitant price. The CEO or whatever was put in jail, and they needed a new front man, and they got this Topaz guy because he seemed honest. He looked clean, and he was a weak personality. They thought he could manipulate him. And as the story went on, he figured out what was going on. And actually, it turned out he did have a spine, and he started standing up for his own interests. It was something like that. I'm probably getting the story half wrong, but that's the way I remember it. Topaz, T-O-P-A-Z-E. You could probably find it on Wikipedia if you're interested, and see what the real story was. But you know, he was a puppet. But then but even puppets have their own self-interest. And one of the points that one of the Alexes was making, which is something that hadn't fully occurred to me, but it's true, is that Biden, he's got a lot of legal problems of his own. I mean, you've got this whole Hunter Biden laptop thing, which is not just Hunter Biden smoking crack and having sex with underage hookers, Although that's in there. It's in there. And probably one of these underage people is his own stepdaughter or his own niece, who effectively was his stepdaughter because he started shacking up with his dead brother's widow, his dead brother's Jewish widow. But anyway, there's a lot of really bad stuff in there. And Biden has been particularly corrupt. He's a very corrupt politician. And the thing is, while he's in office, he's got a certain amount of protection from that because Merrick Garland more or less works for him, supposedly. Merrick Garland's position is dependent on having Biden as president. If you got a different Democrat come in, or even chlamydia. Maybe chlamydia could hang on to Garland, but if you had a different Democrat come in, like Gavin Newsom, he's going to bring in his own crew. You'd have a totally different cabinet. And who knows? And of course, if a Republican came in, then, you know, the Merrick Garland has already set the precedent that ex-presidents are fair game. You can go after them. And so for the Biden and for his wife, Jill, who's not senile yet, and for his family and a lot of close associates, maybe Tony Blinken even, you want to still be in office because you've got protections by being a sitting president or being close to the sitting president that you're not going to have. Even if the same party retains power, you're not necessarily going to have those protections. And so that was, I thought, a reasonably good take. Although, you know, I think there's more to it than that. I think even though Biden is largely a puppet, a lot of his puppet masters are the people around him. And the people around him aren't going to be necessarily the people around a different Democratic president. They're not good. And of course, chlamydia. Nobody likes chlamydia. Nobody wants chlamydia because it itches and burns, especially when you urinate. Nobody wants that. So, and then who else? I mean, you got Gavin Newsom. There's really not a whole lot of. I mean, yeah, they could parachute in Gavin Newsom, but that doesn't mean. Let's just say the them. If the them wants to parachute in Gavin Newsom, well, Biden's not getting out of the way. And so maybe that's going to happen. Maybe you're going to have a non-Robert F. Kennedy Jr. person challenge the Biden. We're only in April of the year before the election, and you don't have a lot of announced candidates. Donald Trump didn't announce until late June, the year before the election. And so we'll see what happens with that. And, you know, I think, I think election campaigns are vehicles for politics, more not just simply who gets elected. And, you know, elections can still be fake, but still be vehicles for getting information out, for getting movements going. A lot of movements have their roots in election campaigns. So they're important. Anyway, we're getting closer to the end of the show. And I want to ask my listeners, what's your favorite animal? I like dogs. But if we're talking about, like, wild animals or something, I think the lesser panda is, like, the cutest animal ever. And my one problem with the Chinese... Well, I've got two problems with the Chinese. One is simplified Chinese characters. But the other is, how could you live in a country, the same country, as these cute animals and not domesticate them? And, you know, if... And their habitat is shrinking, and they are endangered. I can appreciate letting them just live in the wild as cute animals in the wild, but they're going extinct. They're so cute. So you can, like, my YouTube feed, to the extent I look at YouTube, and the only thing I do with YouTube basically is look at animal videos. I think I'd started out with guinea pig videos, because guinea pigs are, they're pretty cute. And then they started showing me a bunch of capybara videos. Well, I like capybara. Those are like guinea pigs the size of hogs. They're very large. They're like, you know, 100-pound guinea pigs. And they're funny animals. But the lesser panther's really cute. So I've been going to zoos a lot lately. I've gone to some zoos. Went to the Omaha Zoo not too long ago. And Kansas City Zoo. I go to a lot of zoos. I've been to the zoos in Poland. I've been to zoos in Australia. I've been to zoos all over. I really like zoos. But also, I went out west.
Way down on the levee in old Alabama, there's Daddy and Mammy, there's Ephraim and Sammy. On a moonlight night, you can find them all while they're...
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
And Kansas City Zoo. I go to a lot of zoos. I've been to the zoos in Poland. I've been to zoos in Australia. I've been to zoos all over because I really like zoos. But also, I went out west and or up north or whatever. Went to Mount Rushmore because I needed to make sure that there was enough rock left on Rushmore for Donald Trump and his hair. Yes, indeed. And there is. There's also, there's a lot of stuff up there. But there are a lot of animals. There are buffalo, bison. And the bison, you know, you look at them, and I didn't get up and start, like, petting them or anything, but they're pretty mellow, and they, you know, you look at the bison, and they're just standing around, they're eating grass, walking around a bit, and then lying down and chewing their cud, and then you get out of the bison area, and you're driving across Nebraska, and you see a bunch of cows, or steer, cattle, doing the exact same thing, just the exact same thing. Why am I talking about this? Because I like animals. And, you know, we do share the planet. This is something that I agree with. We do share the planet. And the idea that the human population can just continue to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. You know, I know in the Bible that God said, go forth, be fruitful, and multiply, right? I know about that. But that was like 3,000 years ago or something. You can't do it forever. I mean, I don't think, like, I wasn't there when God said this, but it can't be forever because the world's only so big and we are crowding out all the other animals. We're just crowding them all out. And, you know, I was seeing animals and I was looking at, and, oh, like tigers. How many tigers are in the wild? Just a few thousand. It's just a few thousand tigers in the wild. And that's divided between numerous subspecies. And, you know, the Chinese tiger is basically extinct in the wild. They have a few in zoos. There's a leopard that lives in eastern Russia, far eastern Russia, and, like, I guess used to live in the Korean Peninsula. Those leopards, you know, maybe there's a few hundred in the wild. And this sucks. And, of course, all of Africa is going to go that way because the Africans need infinity population. And we've got to send them food to make sure that they multiply. And we've got to prevent them from having abortions because then there's not going to be enough Africans for everybody. Hey, fun fact, there's 200 million white people in America. We have 200 million white people. There's 220 million black Nigerians. Just one country in Africa. One country in Africa has more black people than America has white people. But no, we got to make sure not only that they have enough to eat, but we got to make sure that they don't have any abortions and that they just keep multiplying and so they can come over here. All right, I guess that's time. I'll be back again ranting about this and other issues probably tomorrow. So look forward to it. Another exciting episode of National People Radio.
As you can plainly see, at night when he's asleep, into his tent he'll creep, and the stars that shine above will light their way to love. He rules this land with sheep, the sheik of Araby.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the pandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes,
Stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong.
And we'll rock till break of dawn. This feels like heaven. Just you and me. This feels like heaven.
You're listening to RBN.
in defense of the Republic.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.